Oh, boy. Heavenly Father, we're thanking you and praising you for this wonderful day you've given to us. We pray that as we put together Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account of this incident in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we'll know more about the coming times and what we can expect in those last days before you come to judge the world. Just teach us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, last time, as you look at your sheet, we talked about the destruction of the temple, and we're using Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account of this particular incident, what has come to be known as what? Where did he teach us at? Where was he at when he taught the teachings that we're looking at? Yes, Olivet Discourse. So in this Olivet Discourse, and we're on the third day of his last week, we talked about the destruction of the temple. Now, some of the signs of the close of the age. He talked about false teachers. He talked about wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, and the wicked, and how your own family would deliver you up. These are some of the signs. Now, one of the things we said about that is that all of these signs are occurring what? In reality, occurring right now. So we look and say, wow, these signs have to come to pass before the Lord comes back. Well, guess what? All right. Now, we got one more thing as we're going to turn. And this is the abomination of desolation that is referred to. And we're going to talk about how this occurs about right in the middle of the tribulation time. The church has been raptured out. There's going to be some individuals, both Jews and Gentiles, being saved in the next 7 years of tribulation. The first 3.5 years of tribulation, not so bad because the Antichrist has made a pact with Israel. And right at the middle of that that 3.5 year period, he is going to bust that wide open. He is going to bring about great sacrilege right within the temple. And this is when what we'll see and going to talk about today is going to occur. Question on your sheet. Look at it. What does Jesus say they will see and should understand? Matthew says it like this. When ye therefore, okay, summing this up, ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, talking about this one standing in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, he says, let him understand. Mark 13, verse 4, says it like this. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not. All right, the prophet is talking about something standing in the holy place, standing where it shouldn't be standing. Luke says it like this. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with enemies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now, the passages we're assuming that the Lord is speaking of here is Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and then also Daniel 11, verse 31, that speaks about the abomination of desolation coming. Now, look at your sheet and follow with me as I read it. This is a reference to the presence of either a detestable person, which probably it is, or some kind of object in the temple. And now, this could have been a reference to the Babylonian invasion, talking about Daniel 605, or it could have talked about the desecration of the temple by the Syrian ruler, Antiochus. And I mentioned how in 168 B.C., there he erected an altar and he offered a pig on it. And, of course, why would that be so offensive to the Jew? What was a pig? It was a what? Unclean animal, all right? So that's why they said, well, this abomination of desolation is either speaking about some person being where they ought not to be or some object being where it ought not to be. But the point I'm making is that you can look in the Old Testament, you could look at historical events and say, I think this is when it happened. when the Babylonians came and they desecrated the temple, or when Antiochus came and he desecrated the temple. But obviously, Jesus is not referring to those two events, is he? Because he's looking where? He's not looking back. Where's Jesus looking? He's looking forward when he's talking about what's going to happen. So now look at your second paragraph. As the temple had been desecrated in the past, it will once again be defiled. Now watch this. Jesus is referring to a near tribulation when the temple will be desecrated by Rome in 70 AD. But this is a foreshadowing of the far tribulation, which is going to occur in the tribulation time when Antichrist is going to set himself up as an image to be worshipped. Now, you got a couple of references to that very fact. And we've talked about how prophecy oftentimes had a near aspect of being fulfilled, and then also a far. The one that was near would not be completely, totally fulfilled. That's why you know that there was yet a future fulfillment of that, because it was not completely, totally fulfilled. And in 70 AD, you will see many of these events that we'll speak of, but it was not totally and completely fulfilled in 70 AD. So we know that this is speaking of a future event. All right, take a look at your second sheet. I mentioned to you that Antichrist is going to make a covenant with the Jewish people. That's going to begin the seventh year. The temple is going to be rebuilt. Worship is going to be reestablished. We know that from Revelation 11. But in the middle of that seventh year period of time, Antichrist is going to break that covenant, as I mentioned to you earlier. Stopping the sacrifice, desecrating the temple by proclaiming himself to be God, Revelation 11, 2. Now, it's at this time the great tribulation is going to take place, causing many to flee persecution and death, Revelation chapter 6. Now, it's during this time that there are going to be some Jews and going to be some Gentiles that are going to be saved, Revelation 7. It was urgent, I write, for his listeners to understand the significance of this warning taken from Daniel. Look at your next question. What does Jesus warn them to do? Matthew says this: then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Mark says it like this: then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Exactly the same thing. Luke, again: let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. And I mentioned this. They were to be more concerned about their own person than they were to be concerned about their possessions. You're out and about. Don't go back home. You don't have time to go back home in this time. You just need to flee from the judgment to come. Now, next question. How urgent was it for them to flee the wrath which is to come? Matthew says it like him. Now, he's let him which is on the housetop. You're right up in your own house. You're up in the housetop. He says, not come down to take anything out of his house. Now, you're not out in the field. You're not away. Now you're right in your own house. And he says, don't go downstairs to get anything. Get out of there. Mark says it like this: and let him that's on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein, to take anything out of his house. So there's outward exits from off the housetop to get out of there, all right? Luke, he says like this: let them which are in the midst of it depart out. So the emphasis that Jesus is giving to his listeners is the urgency. When this time comes, the urgency is to flee, because the judgment is going to be severe. All right, now listen, before I press on, any questions on these first few verses that we've looked at? All right, let's look at sheet number 3. Matthew 24, verse 18, the Lord continues: neither let him which is in the field return to take his clothes. Mark says it like this, 13, verse 16: let him that's in the field not turn back again to take up his garment. And Luke: let them which are in the countries enter thereinto. So the idea is that, hey, don't go back. Don't go back. Now, Luke also adds these words in verse 22. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And we could go to Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, and look at that. But the days of vengeance, the Lord is saying, everything's going to be fulfilled. That which I've spoken will be fulfilled. And now, what does Jesus say about the women during this time? Matthew says, woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. They're with child, they've just given birth to a child. Mark says it like this, but woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Same thing. And Luke, but woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Now, I didn't ask you a question, but let's ask that question. Why would it not be advantageous to be with child at that time or to have a newborn child? You can't move too quickly. Traveling is much more difficult. The fleeing would be much more difficult. And the aspect that Jesus is emphasizing here is get out of there. Don't be concerned about your possessions. Just get out of there because the judgment is going to be severe. It's going to be harsh. What does Jesus urge them to do? Right on the bottom of your page 3. Matthew 24, verse 20 says this, but look at this. Pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now, why not on the Sabbath day? Let's look at Mark's. He says, and pray ye that your flight be not in winter. He doesn't add to neither on the Sabbath day. Their Sabbath day, they were regulated as to how far they could journey on the Sabbath day. So they need to pray. As I mentioned on the bottom, there would come in a time when it would be easier again for them to flee, not during the winter, the cold, but pray that's going to be. Now, isn't it kind of interesting when you look at something like that, when he says pray? Because this time when Jesus come, in the mind of God, is he going to alter it, or has it already been written down? It's already been written down. It's been ordained on such and such a day he's coming back. But isn't it interesting in the Bible how you see that whereas you the whole aspect about God's sovereignty, yet you see how he mixes that with men's praying. And that this whole aspect of understanding, listen, here's our obligation. Our obligation, we ought to be praying. That's going to be coming a day would be easy. Now, Lord, we'll be all gone because we're going to be partakers of the rapture. But those who are saved during that tribulation period, they need to be praying. It's going to be an easy time for them to flee. All right. Now, next sheet. How bad does Jesus say it will be during this time? Matthew, he says it like this. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Verse 13. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created, unto this time, neither shall be. And Luke account, he says, and there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. The next verse, verse 24, says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations. So now he's given a little more description of the great tribulation. Now, we've already seen in the Great Tribulation, it definitely is going to involve some natural events of earthquakes, famines, and floods. But now we're seeing that this during this great tribulation, it's also going to involve the hand of man coming and capturing and killing. Now, we could look and we could say, well, now listen, certainly all these events did happen in 70 AD with the destruction of Rome. Many are going to be taken captive and so forth. But as bad as it is, that was in 70 AD, it's still only just a partial fulfillment of what is really to come. There's never going to be a time like this. He says, from the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So we know that that was not it. We know that because Jesus didn't come. So that's how we know that, it's not fulfilled yet. Now, last question on your page four. How does Jesus indicate the Lord will intervene in those days? And he says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But he says, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, Mark says it like this. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened those days. Now, we talked about this this morning in our first segment about the great wrath of God in destroying the whole earth through flood. But in the midst of all that that great wrath, there was still, we see a shining light of God's grace in that two by two, they're on the ark. Eight souls are on the ark. So there's, and even here in the midst of this great tribulation time, you see God's grace. And where's this grace at? He's going to shorten it because of whose sake? The elect's sake, all right? So we know that definitely during the tribulation period that there are going to be some souls saved. And they're going to be both Jews, they're going to be both Gentiles being saved during this time. And for their sake, he is going to shorten this great destruction. Because had he not shortened it, it seems that everybody would have been killed. That's how devastating this judgment is going to be. Had God just stood back and allowed this to continue, there'd have been no life left. But he's going to shorten it. And again, in the midst of his judgment, we still see God's mercy. Any questions? Yes. Take a look at sheet number 5. What does Jesus say about false prophets? So he's returned. We've already have seen him address this aspect, that there are going to be false prophets. But now he comes back to it, and he says it like this, Matthew 24. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Christ, or there is Christ, he says, believe it not. Mark says, and then if any man shall say to you, oh, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is here, believe him not. So he's back to this aspect, you know, be careful about this. Now, Matthew goes on, he says this, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Mark says it like this, for the false Christ and false prophets shall arise, okay? And they shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. All right, but before we go on, any comments, any thoughts about what you're seeing right there being presented? Rick?
Kind of the elect. So are these then that would be elect on the salvation during this period of time?
These would be those who, yeah, those who believed on Jesus in that tribulation period. Right. Yes.
And
believe. Yes. Yes. So we got, you got 7 year period of time. Yes. Well, yeah, now, yeah, it could be, in other words, here's what Joanna's saying. All right, here we are. God's been dealing with us, different individuals, but they keep rejecting the Lord. Boom, your church is taken. Now begins, yeah, the first 3.5 years, it's bad. Then comes in the next 3.5 years, that's terrible. Well, during this period of time, those who had gone into this, unbelievers, some have said, whoa, wait a minute. I remember someone telling me about this, and it's come to pass. And because they've seen it come to pass, they'll be saved. We're going to talk about this morning about a faith that has to see in order to believe. Well, that may be some of these individuals that we're talking about. Now they've heard, hey, Jesus, this wrath is going to come, man. We're going to tribulation and so forth. Oh, yeah. But then when they go through it, that sight will enhance their faith to believe. So, yeah, you're right, Joanne. All right, let's see. Oh, okay. Let's take a look at right in the middle of your page, Matthew 24:25 says, he writes, behold, I have told you before. All right, these things, Mark says the same thing. But take ye heed. Why? Because I foretold you all things. And Matthew then goes on in verse 26, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Or they say unto you, behold, he's in secret chambers, believe it not. So there's going to be all during this time, there are going to be many who are proclaiming, hey, it's Christ, the Messiah is here. And he said, be careful. Because look what comes now in verse 27 and 28. For as the lightning is, cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so also the coming of man shall be. Now, what do you think that means? Some are going to miss it, right? You can't miss it, right? In the aspect of lightning, yeah, right. Boom, there it is. You're not going to miss this thing. There's going to be many telling you, oh, it's coming. But no, man, there'll be no question in your mind. Because when, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There'll be no mistake in this situation. Matthew says in verse 28, for whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Ooh, okay, so what do you think that means? One, we know they're not going to miss this thing. But the other aspect is, during this time, there's going to be a great what? Yeah, they're going to be great falling away, but there's going to be great what? Death, because, man, the carcasses are going to be piled up. The eagles will be feeding on them and eating on the bodies. That's how bad this thing is going to be. Nobody will be there to carry off the bodies, so the birds will come and feast on them. Well, okay, that brings us to really to end of that study for this morning, except now, all right, that was fun reading those verses, but what did those verses teach us about our triune God? Anything? All right, true to his word. I said these things are going to come to pass. They are going to come to pass, true to his word. Anything else that we, I said, yeah, God will fulfill his prophecy. Yeah, okay. Anything else we learned about God? What's he wanting them to focus on? He said, don't go back. Don't go down. Get out of there. So he's saying, you need to focus on Yeah, yeah. But he's saying, you know, you need to think about yourself, not your possessions. And of course, you know, everybody, we want to try to carry all our possessions in heaven with us. But God's saying, no, no, no. What you need to do is you need to focus on yourself. Where are you going to spend eternity? That's what's important. Where are you going to spend eternity? You focus on yourself. Are you one of the elect? What else did we learn about God? Because we saw God did something. It's kind of interesting. Now, we see God's role. Oh, God's role, okay, he set it in time. He knows when. Nobody else knows it, but God knows when it's going to happen. But nevertheless, what was his counsel to the people? What were they to do? So we see how man and God work together here in this aspect. He says man's going to what? He should pray. You know, which Spurgeon says it like this. Spurgeon says every prayer that comes down from heaven will ascend to heaven. What does that mean? That means simply this. Every prayer that we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, guided and directed by God, you know how many of those prayers are going to be answered? Every one of them. I say, well, some of my prayers aren't being answered. Well, why aren't they being answered? Because you're praying it into what? Yeah, you're praying in the flesh. When you and I are praying God's will, when we're praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, when God is speaking to us, and he said, pray, 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 and we pray, pray, pray. Do you see how it comes together? Because they're going to be answered because we're being moved by the Spirit of God. So every one of our, so that's how we say when you say, and this is where you get excited when you wake up in the night and say, man, God's impressing upon me to pray for something. Well, y'all pray because it may well be a prayer coming down to you from heaven, and you can be absolutely sure if it's coming from heaven, it's going to go right back up to heaven, and that prayer will be answered. Well, we also saw in the mind of God, how is he going to show mercy in those last days? He's going to what? Yeah, he's going to shorten the time for the elect's sake. So in every judgment that we see in the Bible, we also see God's mercy. And that's what we have to be mindful of. Well, no, wait a minute. Did we learn anything about mankind from these verses? You know, what's he teaching us about persecution? That we ought to what? And this is not the first time Jesus has taught his disciples about persecution and how they should respond to persecution. He says, okay, now look, if you go and preach in a thing, and boy, they reject you, he says, oh, you need to just keep on staying there. You need to just keep on staying. Is that what he said? And go on. Well, what's he saying here? Now, here comes persecution. Here comes persecution. Well, okay, here am I. Oh, he said, run, flee. So we learn, you know, on the mind of God, but I don't have the purpose to just be persecuted and suffer. I have the options to leave that. Go on. Go minister to somebody else. God's children, they got to pray. We talked about that, praying that the time would be right. Those in this time, they need to pray that the time's going to be right. And of course, we all, one of the things we need to be mindful of when we're seeing in this verses, right now, tomorrow, and right up to the end, there are always going to be what kind of men? Propagating. They're going to be false prophets. And we need to take and be aware, he says, be aware. Because there's going to be false prophets. Now, we know from Timothy that as the days grow closer, there's going to be what? More and more false prophets. So this is going to intensify as the days of Christ's coming draw nigh. Well, all right, let's see what else we have. Now, how might these verses change my behavior? What might you purpose strive to do? Say that again. Warning people, yeah. Warning people of what they can expect if they're not Christians. They can expect to go through that tribulation time. And anything else? Oh, you know, though you and I will not be going through it, we can still purpose to pray that for those who are in that time, it'll be not in the middle of winter. You know, it'll be, you know, we can pray for them as we look ahead. And we can thank God. We can already thank God because of what he said here. What would we give thanks to God for as we read down through these verses? That he's going to shorten the day so we can give thanks to the Lord for the grace that he's going to show even on that great day of judgment. Still going to show mercy to some. What else? And we should be purposing to be alert to false teachers. I mean, this is one of the things. We ought to be purposing right now. We got to be watching and observing for false teachers and be alert to that. Okay. Now, anybody else? Somebody else? A thought on what we looked at here today? Comment? Yeah, Joanne? Yep. Reminds us, yes. Yes. And we could also, when we look at something like that, we could even speak about the attribute of our God being long-suffering. Because even in that time, here he is still going to be, you know, they wouldn't pay attention, but he's still going to be long-suffering that some are going to come to the Lord during that time. Anybody else? All right. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the emphasis that you've given us this morning. Not all accounts are given in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then in John. But, Lord, we see that you've repeated this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And not, Lord, and we understand that it's for our benefit. Now, we hear these things not once, not twice, but three times from three different authors that we would hear and heed. Lord, we recognize as your coming draws nigh, there's going to be a lot of false teachers. So help us to be alert and to know your word so we can be quick to just weed out those who are true and those who are false. Help us to be in the Word and know the Word. And then we would also pray, Father, that you would just, as you've said, be merciful to those in that time, that it would be at a time when your elect could flee and do so, Lord, with little trouble. And, Lord, we would just thank you and praise you for just your great love for us. And we would pray, Father, that, as Rick had mentioned, we would be quick to caution others that today is the day of salvation, that this is the day that they should wonderfully and gloriously embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and not wait until the days of judgment. Now, we just ask that you will anoint us with the power of the Holy Spirit and with a boldness to bear witness to others. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.